How's everybody doing? Oftentimes when I ask that question, and usually as we, you know, in the culture, we ask that question, we're not expecting any answer, are we? We say, how are you doing? And then we keep on walking. It's just kind of a polite thing to say. But I really mean it. How are you guys doing this afternoon? Tired. A lot of work? Tired. Why tired? It's cool. Better than I deserve. All right, that sounds like somebody's been paying attention and they've run to class there in finances. Friends, I wanted to open my heart to you. I'm going to share some things from my own personal life because I believe that what we are going to talk about is the key of the whole week. In fact, this is the key of our walk with the Lord. As we talk about walking by faith, faith is the key word in the whole passage, in the phrase. And in order to do that, I'm gonna need your prayers, because I think this is a matter of life, eternal life, or death, eternal death. I mean, it's about where you are at in your walk with the Lord. It's about you making a decision. What is it that I'm going to do with my life? What is it that I'm going to do with all the issues that are around me, and how am I going to deal with this? So can we just have a word of prayer? Will that be all right? Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you imperfect, asking for your Holy Spirit to speak through your servant. And I pray, Lord, that you move freely in this place. I pray that all the concerns and worry and tiredness of this day or this week can just go away, so we can let you be in our presence, right here in our hearts, as we open your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. How many of you love to plan trips, plan for something? Oh, there's some hands going up. I tell you, for some individuals like you, most likely, you enjoy the planning more than the actual event. That's me. My wife, no, she enjoys the event. She doesn't enjoy the planning. So I do the planning and she enjoys the event. Weird. But there was one occasion that I've been preparing for, without exaggeration, for all my life. I remember my dad coming to our apartment. He visited Texas, and he brought a little airplane, and I was traveling with that airplane everywhere. You know how it is when you're a kid. And then my dad said, one day you're going to be in an airplane, and you're going to go to Andrews University. And I believe it. But here's the thing. I was seated in that airplane. I was going towards Andrews University. I have spent all my life planning for this event. I was beyond excited just to go through the process until I sat in that airplane. What am I doing? Where am I going? And all these fears and all these if questions came into creep onto my mind, and I began to feel afraid. Let me back a little bit of the story and tell you, explain you, give you a little bit of scenario why all these thoughts were coming to my mind. See, I graduated from an academy, just like you are here in academy. And after the academy, I had a tough choice to make. And how many seniors do we have here? We're seniors. My heart's right there with you. In my senior year, everybody wanted to know what I was going to do when I graduated. So, are you going to be a lawyer like your dad? Are you going to be a judge? My dad is a third-generation judge in the same courthouse. So, family members and friends wanted me, expected me to be a judge, a lawyer. And my dad said, do whatever you want, but do not go to law school. So, one out. But that pressure was there. What am I going to do? My friends were saying, I'm going to be an engineer. I'm going to this university. And people ask me, and I had no idea what to say because I have no clue. And when you are closer to your graduation, then things get a little bit stressful, you know? But in that moment, I began to understand that God really listens to your prayers. Have anyone here experienced the power of God? Have anyone here experienced God talking to you and leading your life? Oh, I'm going to share a couple of points. I wish I had the whole week to tell you a lot of my journey. But this walk by faith is you have to live it. You have to go through it in order to experience it. It's hard to explain it. Once you are there, it's just like you feel the presence of God. So I picked my classmates chose me as a class pastor. They said I wanted to be the pastor. And then my chaplain called me up and said, just like Pastor Will, did they call you Pastor Will Lawrence? He said, so are you going to be a pastor? I said, no, that's not cool. You know, cool people are not pastors. I became one, you know, maybe because I'm not cool. No, the Lord is good all the time. But I tell you, I'm telling all of you to say this, friends. I went to business school, but I felt something unexplainable inside of me, just like Abraham, Genesis 12, chapter 1. Leave your people, leave your place, leave your father, go to a land that I will show you. I was feeling this uneasiness. I was feeling a direct call from the Lord to leave the place I was and go to Andrews University. I cannot explain that to you. I cannot tell you. It's just a formula you follow, and then you hear the Lord talking to you. I cannot do that. But all I can tell you is that the Lord impresses your heart. Of course, it's always in accordance with the Bible. But the Bible doesn't say, you know, open the Bible and say, oh, you're going to be an engineer. All right, good. That's the Lord. Well, the Lord says. You have sometimes to be in tune with God in prayer. And then people that you care for, the divine providence, and there's certain things that happen that give you certainty, and just like it was said yesterday, give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. So I cannot explain it to you, but I felt certain I needed to leave. And here's the problem. I have worked for 3 years. I have saved money to go to college. I have prepared for several years, trying to learn a little bit of the language, trying to learn a little bit of the culture, trying to make a plan, go to different universities, pinpoint different friends that I called each one of them, and they said, I will receive you, I will help you. And I was ready for this trip until 3 months before I departed. I resigned my position, and then somehow I lost all the money I had. Nothing. Bad business transactions, emergencies, and then I had $1,000 in my pocket, a backpack, and this. And then I have to make a decision. Should I go or should I stay? That happened exactly 20 years ago. That's why for me it's very personal. 20 years ago, June 19th, I was there. Many of you weren't even alive. I was in a plane. That's why I was freaking out in that plane. I said, what if no one helps me? And I did this. See, the Lord speaks to you many ways. It's been twice that the Lord spoke to me when I just randomly opened the Bible. I don't believe the Lord speaks like that. Who should I marry? Ooh, a king. First kings. Whoa, I guess you got to look for a king. People look for the will of God that way, you know. Oh, 45. So I need to make $45,000 a year. So that's the Lord speaking to me. People believe that the Lord leads you that way. That's not the way the Lord leads you. But I was panicking in that airplane. I was just like the day I was in total darkness. I was suffocating. I couldn't breathe. And the only thing that came to my mind was grab the Bible. I opened this very Bible that was given to me when I graduated from high school. never used it before. I just put it in that little plastic briefcase because it was a traveling size. I never used it before, and I landed in this passage of Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 8. And this one is in Spanish, but that verse says this, because my ways are not your ways, neither my thoughts are your thoughts. As far as heaven is from earth, that's the distance between my thinking, God says, and your thinking. Therefore, boy, get ready. The Lord, I have embraced this passage as a direct conversation and information and direction from God to tell me, I have plans, I know what I'm supposed to do, however, the Lord is the one who leads your steps. I took this to say, Lord, I have no idea what I'm supposed to do. I have no idea where I'm supposed to be or what I'm supposed to do in a foreign land, but I'm trusting in you completely. And I tell you what happened when I landed in Miami. All my fears became true. I called each one of the friends that a month before said, I will receive you, I will help you. And none of them answered my call. Some of them said, I'm busy. Someone said, things change. In a month, someone actually didn't answer the phone. Have somebody else answer the phone. The person, wrong number, hung up on me. I was in Florida with a rental car with $1,000 quickly going low. I have no idea where I was going. I have no idea how I was going to fulfill this impression the Lord put on my heart. And I began to say, what I have done. See, would it be that I didn't hear the Lord clearly? But I tell you what happened. And this is the part that gets me excited. It brings me to tears and keeps me humble. In that process of desperation, In that process of confusion and cloudiness in my life, the only thing I could do was to pray. Was to pray like never before. Praying like my life depended on it, literally. It was just to put on those glasses of which we have been talking about and begin to see things I didn't see before. And I got to a point, I said, Lord, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm going to trust in you. Have you been there? I can promise you something. As you go through your high school, as you graduate from high school going to college, as you enter adulthood, you're going to have many moments like that in your life where you're going to be presented with situations that you have no idea what to do. You call your pastor, you open the Bible, and you are clouded. You have no idea if you are making the right decision or not. Maybe some of you are there already. Maybe in your relationship with God. Is this God real? Maybe in school, am I taking the right classes? Maybe, I don't know what could be in your personal life, but when you get to that point, my decision was, I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to go quickly into one story. I want you to go with me, and then we'll continue with this story. It's in the book of John, chapter 4. This story is extremely powerful. John is going through several miracles, and he's chosen seven of them, and he's going one by one. And in each one of those miracles, he is pinpointing where individuals make a decision for God or against God. And his point is simple. God is real. Jesus Christ is God. You must make a decision. So we find in chapter 4 that Jesus had been coming from Jerusalem. He healed a bunch of people in Jerusalem. It was in the Passover of the Jews. And he took a shortcut. In that shortcut, let me point it out to you. In that shortcut, Jesus actually stopped by a place called right here, Sychar, Samaria. So Jesus was here in Jerusalem, and then he took this shortcut. Why a shortcut if he was going to Galilee? A shortcut because many Jews, most Jews, all Jews will go around the whole way around because they did not want to go close Samaria. You know the story. So Jesus comes here. He spends a couple of days, and then he goes towards Galilee, and he stops in Cana. But listen to what happened. In that process, individuals from Galilee went to Jerusalem and witnessed that crippled people were walking because Jesus ordered them to do so. People witnessed that blind people were seeing because Jesus ordered these individuals to be healed. These individuals from Galilee observed and witnessed how Jesus made the mute talk. And they went back down. They went back to Galilee. And they were crazy excited about it. And they told everybody that this Jesus is the Son of God or something. This guy is healing a bunch of people. And this is what happened. All of a sudden, there's a man from this little town of Capernaum. You can see it here easily. He hears the commotion and he has a problem. Jesus is here in Cana. There's about 16 to 25 miles from this place to this place. And here's where we pick the story in chapter 4, verse 47. Actually, let's do it 47. And it says this: when this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judah, he went to him and begged him. I have an outline for you. You can follow some of those parts as very interesting parts. I'm going to go quickly through this because there's powerful points in there. This man was called a basilicos. Basilicos means is where we get the word basilicas. Basilicas are the huge cathedrals and churches that Catholic churches have. Those places used to be government offices. So this man, basilicos, used to be a officer, a worker for the government, most likely from Herod and Antipas. Anyone who worked for the government back then was rejected because he or she represented the oppressors, the Roman Empire who was oppressing all of those. So this guy was despised by his own people, was rejected by his own people. This guy heard that Jesus was in Cana because he had a problem. He went to see Jesus. And he begged him, come and heal my son, who was close to death. Then Jesus says, unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official, this basilicos, said, sir, calm down before my child dies. Here's the first point, friends. There are times that we think that we know what God needs to do in order to fix the universe. So we advise God. God, I think you should do this and that. Sometimes we think that we know what God should do in order to fix the world or the nation, or in my case, the conference, or even my church, or my house, or my life. So we come to God and say, God, you need to do this and this and that. Sister White, and you have that quote in your passage, says this powerful line: at times, the very reason that moves us to ask Jesus, to come to Jesus in prayer, is selfishness. Because we want things for me. Because I want what the Lord is offering me, but I don't want a relationship with Him. Now, should we stop praying? Oh, let me ask Pastor Will if my prayers are all right. Should I get myself together before I come to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, I'm struggling here. Should I be a completely saint before the Lord answer my prayer? The answer is no, no, no. You come to Jesus as you are, as messed up as you are, as confused as you are, and you tell Jesus, Jesus, I need a Porsche. I need a really fast car. I need a Mustang. I need it now because I need to impress Susie, who has got money, and this person and that person. You come to Jesus as messed up as you are. You ask him the questions that you want. You ask about your doubts. You tell him exactly how you're feeling. And because It's in that relationship that Jesus can transform you. It's in that relationship that Jesus looked at you and said, you need more time, my child. It's in that relationship where Jesus has a time to talk to you and transform your heart. Look what happened here. The man, after begging Jesus to come back, then he did this. The royal, verse 48, official officer said, sir, come down before my child dies. Verse 50, Jesus replied, you may go. Your son will live. The man took Jesus as his word and departed. This is what I'm going to get, the point I'm trying to get at. In this story, there's one word repeated three times, and the word is pistis. Pistis. That word is repeated in this story. It's repeated in the book of John 100 times. That word is translated as faith, as belief. However, those two words don't always describe the power that's behind that word. You have read it, John 3:16, for God, what? So loved the world that he, what? He gave who? His only begotten son. So whomever believed, there it is. But you change that word and you put the word trust, and now we have a whole different meaning in our context. Because when you talk about trust, you're talking about a relationship with God. When you talk about trust, you are saying, I need to know you, God. It's not just saying, like, I believe like the Colts are going to win this football season. It's just expressing doubt, right? We don't know that. I have faith that you're going to be okay. You have no idea if he or she is going to be okay. You just say that and express as doubt. But when you use the word trust, you are saying, I know you. I know this person. And I know that things are going to be all right. So when you use that word trust, you are telling Jesus, I really know you through good times and bad times. And I'm going to trust in you. There's another point in this story, and the point is this one. God, our Heavenly Father, has 1,000 ways to provide for us of which we know nothing. Yes, I landed in Indianapolis, the only place I didn't want to be. It was far from Andrews University. Talk about divine providence. Talk about how the Lord leads your life. Talk about trusting God completely. I came to do an MBA, Master in Business Administration, and I ended up in the seminary. It's a long story, but I can summarize it by saying, trusting God changed my desires, aligned my heart with His, and I no longer felt like I was against God and His will. As I was going through pain and suffering, as I was confused the first year, often I referred to it as the worst year of my life. I was homeless. I didn't have a place to eat or to drink water. I have to depend on the goodness of individuals I've never seen before to have a floor in their living room in order to spend the night. I had to do things I never done before, and the first thing I had to do was to depend on the grace of God and the goodness of other people, and that was painful for me, and yet it was the best year of my life. Why? Because I got to know God. Because I got to understand that He's given me gifts, talents, and abilities. I got to experience that when I serve other people, my life is full of joy. I got to experience that money is not what makes me happy. I got to experience that sometimes my plans, my ways, and nothing close to what God wants for me, because what God wants for me is way beyond my wildest imaginations. And when I got to that point and said, Lord, you are driving. Lord, you are leading me. Lord, I just depend on you. And then I began to see clearly. But one of those moments when I was learning to walk by faith, I had a problem. I was hungry. And I don't like to cook. And I don't know how to cook except the microwave and some basic survival things. But I noticed I was studying so hard. I was so intense. A pastor's wife said, son, you need to take care of your health. You are working so hard. Your brain is going to burn like a microwave. You have to eat well. And I said, sure, but the peanut butter sandwich is doing great and the snacks. He said, that's not enough. You need to eat well. Eat your veggies. But here's the problem. Remember how much money I had when I came? By now, it's just getting really, really low. I was offered housing for a few weeks, so I have a place to go. I was going to school. And then I said, Lord, you know, a few months ago, I thought I knew what I was doing. Now, I have no idea. Will you please help me? I need to eat. There's something powerful, friends, that happened. Psalm 46, 47 says, delight in the Lord. Delight on him, and he will give you the desires of your heart. It gets to a point where your likeness, your desires are tempted and transformed by the power of God. What you think, what you desire, what you will for your life is what God wills and desires for your life. And you think that God wanted to give me some food? I don't know. I didn't ask him, give me a bill, send me some food at the door. I just said, Lord, I'm hungry. I went to church. I used public transportation. I arrived there half an hour early. And it was fall. It was the fall. It was colder. I had summer clothing. It was getting cold. I was pacing back and forth, waiting for someone to come and open the door. As I'm pacing back and forth, a car comes into the parking lot with two individuals and two kids. All of a sudden, there's some commotion in the car, and the driver motioned me in, said, come inside the car. So I get inside the car, and this guy says this, I don't know you. I just know that you came a week ago. I've been praying. I've been praying that the Lord will put someone in my life that I can help. I don't have money. I don't have anything to give you, but I am the manager of a pizza place. Anytime you're hungry, stop by and I will feed you. Guess where I was every second day. This man who didn't know me not only fed me but bought for me the first winter coat. $150 he paid cash. And I was saying, this guy doesn't know who I am. This guy have no idea if I'm a thief, if I'm crazy. Nothing. He treated me like someone who was in need and he gave me grace. Wow. That's one of the multiple examples how the Lord provided for me. How the Lord, as I trusted him, he gave me what I needed. But here's the powerful part of the story. This man, the Basilikos, had a problem. He heard a story. By the way, friends, students, always share your story. Always tell the story of what the Lord has done in your life, how he has saved you, how he has transformed you, the miracles that you have experienced. Because when you share that story, some people might be listening. In this case was the royal the Basilikos was listening to the story. This man probably spent multiple nights without sleep. This man had a huge problem. His son was about to die. He heard a story. Jesus can heal people. He immediately received hope. And that through the Holy Spirit, he went to Jesus. And throughout this process, pistis growing. Faith is growing. Trust is growing. He goes to Jesus and Jesus says, you need to have trust. And he said, what? I have no idea what is this. All I have is a problem. My son is about to die. I need you to heal him. We'll talk about belief later on. But then this is what happened. He walks to Jesus. Jesus says, your son lives. He didn't say your son is alive. Your son is going to be all right. He said, your son lives, which meant for us, he's a kind of, I don't know what you're saying, Jesus. Is he all right or not? But here's what happened. The basilicos said he believed. He went back home. And then he led his whole household to follow Jesus Christ. So friends, what am I trying to tell you with this single word? Understand, someone is going to play the piano for us. What is it that I'm trying to convey with this word, pistis? Actually, what is John trying to tell us? Paul tells us in Galatians 5:6 that the only thing that counts. He looked at the whole Bible. He looked at salvation. He looked at theology. And he says, friends, if you are trying to find the one thing that you need to do, if you're trying to find the one thing that you have to concentrate on, if you're trying to find the secret of eternal life, of walking by faith, of fixing your eyes on Jesus, is this one thing. The only thing that counts is pistis, he says. It's faith. It's trust. Expressing itself through love. And not only that, he says that faith grows. It's possible to grow, but Jesus is the one who grows it. God is the one who increases it. Faith is needed. Pistis is needed when you pray to God. Faith is needed to please God. Faith is a shield that protects you from the attacks of the enemy. Remember the picture we have been showing you? This pistis is what creates this light to shine on people. That's the secret to protect you from the attacks of the evil one. And we began this journey by talking to you about Jesus, the light of the world. John said that Jesus was not received. He was rejected. But then he says this, he wasn't understood, recognized, or received. Yet, to all who received him, we talked about this plenty. We ask you the first day, have you received Jesus Christ in your heart? Some of you have probably had a conversation with God. Some of you said, I'm there, Jesus. Some of you ignored this question completely. But my friends, at this moment, I'm asking you to look at the light and reconsider what it means to receive Jesus Christ. It means, Lord, I have no idea. I don't have the power. I don't get it together. I don't have it together. But I'm going to ask you, Lord, will you please come into my heart? But the second part of it is what we have been talking about. Is that you must believe. You must have a trusting relationship with Jesus Christ. Trusting relationship of Jesus Christ means that you get to know him. You get to experience him throughout good times and bad times. Believing him means that I don't understand all of this. Paul puts it this way. If we have been reviewing time over time and over time. I just fix my eyes on what I do not see. I can't. If I fix my eyes in what's temporal and what I see, then I'm just looking for this world, living for this world. But Paul encourages us, look beyond this world. Put the glasses that are going to allow you to see eternal life. Jesus Christ, look beyond this world. Because what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Here's the simple truth. Fix your eyes on eternity. So friends, I'm going to ask the group to come up. We're going to sing a theme song that we have sing times. I love it. I encourage you to hear, listen the words of this song. I am yours. I don't understand much, but I'm giving you my life to you. And as they sing that, We're going to pass some cards. I'm going to ask some of the staff if you can help us passing those cards to every one of the students. Can I have one, please? Thank you. I don't know what your walk with the Lord is, but I cannot let this week go by without giving you a chance to reflect on your spiritual life. Maybe you have already decided to trust in Jesus. Let us know that. This is not mandatory. It's for us to have feedback and know how to pray for you. Maybe you said, I want to trust Jesus, but I have no idea how to do it. Pray for me. I would like to talk to somebody. Mark that box if that's you. In fact, if you want us to pray for you, write your name, mark that line, and maybe write your prayer request if you feel comfortable doing it. Maybe you can say, I have received Jesus Christ in my heart and He is part of my life. Or maybe you want to say, just like Mark 16:16 says, if you believe and are baptized, then you will have eternal life. Maybe some of you need to think about giving your whole life to Jesus Christ and saying, Lord, I trust you, I believe in you, and I want to tell the world that I belong to you. The Bible said that the moment of your baptism is when your all is gone. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, the all is past. There's a new creation for you. What is your decision? Please do that. They're going to sing. We'll end on prayer. And then those cards, you can leave it in the back as you exit the place.
You say I am loved.
Friends, trust God with your future. Trust Him with your doubts. Trust Him with your shortcomings. Trust him with your struggles. Trust Him with your life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And when you don't know what to do, look up, because He's right there next to you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You for coming to this world, giving us a chance to eternal life. I pray for each one of the students in this room. I pray for their lives. I pray for their struggles. I pray, Lord, for their futures. I pray, Lord, that they daily decide to believe, to trust in You with all their heart. Just like Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Thank You for hearing us, listening to our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.